Good morning. I really appreciate everyone that's here because there are so many that come to me and said, well, we're sorry, but we're not going to be here. So it's nice to see everyone that is here. I had intended to have a big graphic up here, but I didn't realize the system needed some special connections. It needed some Mac power, I guess, and I don't. Well, I don't have a Mac, you see. Oh. It needs Mac power. Oh. But anyway, so thank everybody for coming. I was just, we were talking, it seems like every once in a while I'm talking to some Christians that are there talking to my dad, and I'm sitting, usually I'm just sitting there, you know, kind of hanging out. But different times people have come up and they said, you know, we're talking, and yeah, we used to go to an assembly where every evening meeting was a gospel meeting. Every evening was a gospel meeting. And I thought, yeah. And then the other day I was going to the vet. And the vet happens to be in a building. And I thought, you know, a long time ago I can remember preaching the gospel from in front of this vet office. It was a bank at the time. I thought, you preach the gospel. And when I was in Florida, I've got a friend down there. And her television is probably 500 channels of Christian television, Christian evangelists. And that's what, it's good. That's what they listen to. But it's all this, it's all kinds of stuff. There's no filter on it. He got everything and everything. But what impressed me is I would, you know, spend some time there listening to the preachers because that's, she wants to show me how good the television preachers are. I would see these vast crowds of people. And the preacher is preaching wonderful things about what we have in Christ as believers and how the glories that the Christian is going to come into and the benefits that a person has being saved. Whole crowd of people. And not one word about the blood of Jesus Christ. About the need to get saved in the first place. Maybe at the end they'll say, and if you don't know Christ as your Savior today, you know, you should probably get that taken care of. And she called me up and she was telling me this wonderful preacher she heard. And I, in this big auditorium, I said, did he preach the gospel at all? Well, no, he didn't preach the gospel. We're supposed to live the gospel. We're the gospel. We're the hands and feet of Jesus, you know. And that's how the gospel gets out. I says, you gotta tell him the gospel. It says, preach, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. No, you don't have to do that. It's got to be gentle and soft. And I says, boy, I don't know. I remember a preacher told me once, he says, if you're not in earnest, that was Frank Knox, if a preacher isn't in earnest, he isn't preaching the gospel. I don't know how earnest I'll be, but I was just thinking about that. And I've already quoted it, Mark 16 and verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, you know, I was thinking that's different. He has changed his, at the end of his earthly ministry here, he's changed his tune, the Lord Jesus has. He's changed his focus. It's go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, we remember when he sent his disciples out the first time, it was go to the Jews only. Don't preach to the Gentiles. Only go where the Jews are. And they were preaching the gospel of the kingdom, preparing the way of Messiah. And here it's after he has been crucified and he's come back to his disciples and he's sending these same disciples out and it's go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. But you know, I thought they didn't just all scatter just then. They stayed there right in Jerusalem and they preached right in the local place there. What was it? 3,000 or 5,000 were saved that first day? Right there in Jerusalem, and then they stayed there. And I'm really glad that, you know, you have the Enoch's Club work here. That's a wonderful outreach, and it's great to be able to have, I mean, my dad was at the Burger King, and he said, you know, this lady said she was thinking of going to church. Of course, sometimes they say that anyway, you know, just, I don't know if she'll ever show up, and I've got a lady that said she'd like to have a church home, and she says, you know, one of these days I'll call you and, you know, well, I'd like to come and see your church. I says, please do. Haven't seen her yet, haven't heard from her. So, but anyway, So we have a local testimony here. And then I know we've got Brother Fitzhugh and is it Donahue? Young Mike Donahue. And so we've gone out and we've got people that we've sent out into other places away from the assembly with the gospel to reach people for Christ. Well, I was wondering what to speak on in the gospel, and I was speaking to a friend the other day, and she said to me, she had some friend ladies just left, and I says, oh, who were the ladies? Your Bible study group? No, they were some Jehovah's Witness ladies that left. Really? You're not taking in that, are you? Oh, no. I says, so what did you discuss? Oh, just the Bible. She says, but I have a question. She says, I just don't understand that Trinity thing. How, you know, and you see that's, she said they weren't talking about that, but that's what came up, the Trinity. I says, well, you know, that's, and I tried to explain it to her, but a little bit. And she seemed to understand. She seems, that makes sense, yeah. But I got thinking, I should have, after I went back, I said, I thought I should have read her in Genesis. And I will read that now. You see, God tells us when he spoke to Abraham. Genesis chapter 22:3, I believe. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took his hand, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. When they came to the place which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called unto him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, do not lay thy hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it for a burnt offering instead of his son. And it just ends right there. Something didn't copy. Okay, so here is we have the story that is well known to us, and it's a beautiful picture. And, you know, as I look at this story, God doesn't just tell a story straight out. It is so intricate and woven. It is so intermeshed because you have Abraham, and he's got this son. And this son was given to him by God. And this son is going to be the heir of all. He's going to have, his family is going to extend from this one child. And God has come and told him, slay your son. Take his life. It's unbelievable. But what does Abraham do? It says he gets up early in the morning and went and cut wood and laid it on his son. And I thought, you know, he did get up early. Because somebody was talking the other day, and I had never thought of this before. But I forget which one of the speakers was here. He described the pyre that bodies are burnt on in different places of the world. It's a big, and I thought, yes, it's true. When you see these pyres that are built in India, they are huge, massive things. Now, they might not have to be that big, but it takes a lot of wood to burn a body if you're going to burn it to ashes. And so, and my dad and I have been cutting wood and chopping it into pieces big enough to to put in the stove. And so here is, I'm kind of picturing this, and he gets all this ready in the morning. I don't know how early he got up, because it takes a long time to cut wood, even with a chainsaw and with all the mechanical devices we have. So he didn't wait. He didn't procrastinate. He got up early, Abraham did. And he went and he saddled his ass and he put the wood on the donkey. And he got some young men to help, and they went on their way. And he and the young boy, Isaac, maybe he was a young man by then, he carried all this pile of wood at one time after he got there. And I thought, this is a father and son, and they're walking together, and the father understands that what is happening, but the son is likely distracted. He's got his friends around, he's got the other young men there, and who knows what they're doing and talking about the future and what they're going to do on this trip, and they're just occupied with each other, these young men. And isn't that how God is? God is so gentle with us. You know, He lets us go our own way, but He's always right there. He's waiting for us. And I remember how I was. I would sit in gospel meetings and it would just, and I mean, I was under some serious preaching. But I would get concerned and, you know, but God just sort of stayed there. I had the gospel meetings every week and it was just always there. But you see, came a time when they got close to the destination, close to that place where God had appointed for Isaac to be sacrificed. And he said, okay, young men, you need to stop. You need to stay here. Just take care of the animals, and me and my son, we're going to go away. Now you see, this is where it gets really kind of woven in. God weaves this picture for us, because you have a man and his son. And we read that the Father, God, and his son, they go together. They're always together. They were always together. They were always one. And as they're going on this journey, the son who is carrying this load of wood, Isaac is a picture of Jesus, right? But he's also the picture of the sinner. See how this woven in there? He's a picture of the sinner, because the sinner is bearing his load. And after he gets the distraction of the young men, of the things of the world out of the way, suddenly I realized, when God got the distractions out of the way one day, I realized that there was a burden I was carrying, just like Isaac did. Once the distractions were out of the way, the burden became evident to me. And Isaac says, Father, there's the fire in your hand, and the wood, the burden, is on my back, but where is the sacrifice? You see, Isaac knew there had to be a sacrifice. And this is so beautiful. This is what I wished I'd told my friend. God will provide himself the sacrifice. And the way you can read that is both ways. It's woven so beautifully. Isaac is both the Savior and the sinner. And the sacrifice, God is both the sacrifice and the giver of the sacrifice. What human mind could weave such beauty into this tapestry of this little story? This little incident, an actual incident happening in Abraham's life. And so as they continue and they get up to the top of that mountain, and there's the altar built, and the wood is laid on that altar, and the young man allows his father. Now, some people say that the young man couldn't have, you know, he had to be, I'm sure he did willingly allow himself to be bound, but don't take, because Abraham was 100 years old or more, that he was a weak man. Because we read that, was it Moses? Was 120 years old when he died, and his strength was not abated. He was just as strong as when he was a young man, because I don't know, that's how they just sort of were preserved that way, it seems like. You know, was, that was back then. This is a different day. We get weak and frail, and I'm feeling that. But, he was just as, Abraham might not have been just as old and frail as sometimes we might picture him. But anyway, and God is strong. God is never diminishes in his strength. But the son allowed himself to be bound and laid upon that pile of wood. And the knife was raised, and the angel cried out, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham's hand was stopped. And you see, Abraham turned around and he saw the ram caught in the thicket by his horns. Now, this picture of the Lord Jesus Christ is a lamb, because the Lord Jesus Christ, he laid down his own life. He relinquished his own strength. And yet, the ram must picture the power of the God that was going to provide this sacrifice. The ram speaks of the strength, the power, the ability of the sacrifice to save. And that sacrifice was caught in the thicket by its horns. That thicket was probably maybe a thorn bush, and it was caught there, and those thorns were entangled in that, and Abraham was able to subdue that ram. And so the ram became the sacrifice. And God says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And God provided that ram. Abraham did not have to raise that ram up from a lamb, or he didn't have to feed it. He didn't have to tend it. God put that ram there. And that ram became the substitute for Isaac. But Isaac also is a picture of the sinner, which is able to be raised from the penalty of sin and live eternally, having been provided for, been redeemed by the sacrifice. But also, he's a picture of the Savior. Isaac should have died. The ram died. Its blood was shed. And the Savior, he died. His blood was shed. But he raised himself from the grave. And he lives. And that's the wonderful story that we have to tell, is that Christ has risen, and anyone who puts their trust in him can know their sins forgiven. Isaac and his father walked down that mountain that day. And I just wonder what story was told to those young men. And I don't know, a thought just occurred to me. I was just wondering if one of those young men, I can't even go there. I was thinking maybe one of those young men was Eliezer, but we better not even, anyway, one of those young men that, you know, can you imagine the story that Isaac told, how he was saved? And I can remember when I got saved, my dad was in the car, we were driving home, and I was telling my brother, he had struggled with salvation longer than I did. Way longer. I just kind of let it, you know, I'll get it when I get it, you know, but he struggled with it. And I says, "Brian, it's so easy. You can't believe how easy it is. You just have to take hold of it. It's right there." And I remember my dad saying, "David, you're not helping anything here. You better be quiet." Because my brother was getting angrier by the minute, because he had wanted it and he couldn't get it. He seemed not be able to lay hold of it. But my friend, it's necessary that you have a time in your life when you understand there's a burden that is taking you to a lost eternity, a burden that is going to cause you to be separated from God for all your life. That burden that Isaac was bearing up that mountain, that burden had the potential of separating himself from his father forever. But you know, and you have a burden of sin, it has the possibility, the sure possibility, the sure fact that it will separate you from God if you do not put your trust in the Lord Jesus and the provision that God has provided for your soul's salvation. We pray that anyone here who does not know that their burden has been lifted at Calvary, that they will put their trust in the Lord Jesus tonight for their soul's salvation. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we just thank thee for the ability to offer you this message of salvation. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for his loving kindness to us, for his care, and for all thy blessings that you have given through the Lord Jesus Christ. We just give thee thanks for all the opportunity to sound forth the gospel. And we just pray that you will use the simple words, thy word to speak to hearts. And we pray that even as we have heard this message, that we will be taken back to that time in our life and we will be refreshed and we will understand we will be brought to remember that time in our life when we first met the Savior. We just give thee thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.